You know, I'm glad in more ways than none that you're sitting out in front of me this morning. And the reason that I said that is because you didn't have to be here, especially you youngsters. You didn't have to be here. I mean, you know, you just could have taken control and gone anywhere you want to go this morning, just have fun with your life and just totally ignore all that God wants for you. But I'm glad that you're here. Then I'm glad for your adults that you're here because you also made a choice. You made a choice not just to come and listen to the choir, but you came, you made a choice to come to worship. And I'm glad that you did that. The subject of our little talk this morning is, Heal Me, Lord. Now, when we read John chapter 4, it's a very familiar scripture. Jesus is on his way ministering, and instead of going around Samaria, he goes right up through the middle of Samaria. And as he goes right up through the middle of Samaria, he stops by Jacob's well, sends his disciples on into Samaria proper to get some food for them to eat. And while he is there, an incident takes place. And I just want to share this with you. There was a lady in Sychar. And this lady was a lady that had problems the way that all of us do. This lady needed to be healed. Her problem was not that she was anymore a woman. Her problem was not that she worship God wrongfully. The problem was not the fact that she had 5 legitimate husbands. That was not her problem. What am I saying to you people? You've read the text. You think you know what her problem was. I've read some of your lives. You've read my life. You think you know what my problem is. No, you don't. No, I don't. But Jesus was passing through town one day. Jesus knows what all of our problems are. You can play him off all you want. He knows what your problem is. He knows what my problem is. We can smoke screen him, fog him, rationalize him, away, and he's going to come right back and he's going to say, let me tell you what your problem is. And you ought to say like this woman, heal me, Lord. A few nights ago on KKLA, a gentleman called up and he wanted me to offer some prayer for his son, and I did. And then he offered me or suggested that I might pray for his healing. Pastor John, I want to be healed of my disease that I have. And I said, no, I can't do that. The man looked at me like I was out of my mind. What? I said, can't do that. In essence, I was saying, maybe God wants you in this position. Then I asked the man over the phone, tell me how you feel right now. I was trying to get him to do what I do very richly, get in touch with the tension. I said, tell me how you feel right now. I just said that God might not want to heal you. If that's not his will to heal you, you may not get healed. And then I said, now tell me whether you're content with God saying no. Man paused. And he says, I know that all things work to the good. I said, I didn't ask you what you know about the Bible. That's our problems as a church. See, James, we're ready to quote the Bible quick. That's not what I asked him. I said, are you content with your malady? Then I ministered to him. Here comes a woman in Samaria. She needs to be healed. And this is a very easy outline because we're just going to look at 4 things: the setting, the strategy, the surgery, and the salvage. Everything here. Listen, I'm going to try to make it all start with an S. The setting, the strategy, the surgery, and the salvage. I need to be healed. I'm living within a setting. I need to be healed. There's a strategy that God has to approach me. I need to be healed. God's got to cut me and do some surgery. I need to be healed. Am I going to let him salvage my old messed up life? First of all, when we look at the setting, we see the necessity, the geography, the humanity, the opportunity, and an inquiry. All in verses 4 through 8. So turn to John chapter 4. We'll look at the necessity. The necessity says in verse 4, we find, I'm sorry, I should have started out the other well. Yeah, let's look at verse 4. It says, he left Judah and departed again to Galilee in verse 3. And then verse 4 says, and he had to pass through Samaria. There is always a necessity in your life for God to deal with your sickness. You're always sick. Some people think because Pastor John is Pastor John that he's well, he's whole. I am sick. And Jesus knows that I'm sick. And there's always the necessity for him to heal me. I am never together. I'm never perfect. I'm never just so right in all that I do. I'm messed up. I'm sick. There's a necessity. It says in verse 4, he had to pass through Samaria. Jesus had to break in your life. The Holy Spirit had to convict you of the mess that you don't want to talk to him about. Let me share what church is. Church is an opportunity for us to come to church and to come in a room and fall God. You know, we do this. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad, see God, Jesus lifted. Oh, you fogging him now? Oh, I'm so glad. Are you? Jesus lifted. Why are you giving it? Glory hat. You're sick. You can take your change and you can put it on the table when the basket comes by. You can sing your songs. Don't know what I did with my wallet. Remember, it's there somewhere. You can sing your songs. You can play your games. You can do whatever you want to do. Guess what? You need to be healed. I need to be healed. Look at the geography in verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground where Jacob gave to his son. You know what this shows me? That Jesus is going to go wherever you are geographically to find you, to heal you. You cannot hide from him. He is going to find you, to heal you. He's going to search you down. You can't hide from him. We hide through our church membership. We hide through our relationships. The family relationship. My mama's a Christian. You're hiding. Jesus says, you're sick. I need to heal you. Look at the humanity coming up here. In the setting, we see necessity, geography, humanity. Verse 6. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, set on the well. I see Jesus' humanity. He was weary, and he was sitting, and he was waiting. Some of us are tired of what we're going through. We're fed up with it. As a matter of fact, we don't want to take it anymore. But Jesus got tired too. And he got weary, and he sat down. And when he sat down, he was getting ready to do something. He was waiting on an opportunity to heal somebody that was in Sychar that could not come to the well a little earlier in the morning when the other regular women went there, because all the other women in town knew that she had a man living in her house that was not her husband. That's why this sister chose to come to the well in the noon hour when it was hot, because she would have been an outcast with these other women. Oh yes, it's the same here today. So Jesus is weary, and he's sitting, and he's just waiting. He's not twiddling his thumbs. He knows about all your tension. He knows about all your excuses. He knows the pain that you're going through. You know what he's doing? He's waiting for you to say, "Heal me, Lord." He's just waiting on you. Jesus is not impatient. He's not going to bust in your life. He's not going to twist your arm and make you do anything you don't want to do. He's going to sit there weary with humanity and wait on us to say, "Heal me, Lord." And I'm telling some of you people that he's been talking to you, saying, "I'm waiting on you to let me heal you." and you come to his house week after week after week, and you leave here with your mind so made up, he can't heal us. Look at the opportunity. And in the opportunity, in verse 7, we see the woman and the water and the witness. Isn't this great? For those of you that want to be preachers, you can get so much out of one verse. And I won't even bore you with a lot of time exegeting all this. I just want you to see what the Lord is doing here. The opportunity, as found in verse 7. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And he said, give me a drink. So we see in this setting, there had to be a woman. There had to be some water, something that she felt she needed. And then the witness comes. In other words, what is your setting? You're that woman. You're searching for some stuff in your life. As a matter of fact, you already have it planned what you want to do with the rest of your life. Now, right in the middle of that, there's going to be some witness. There's going to be an opportunity for Jesus to minister to you. But you know what happens whenever you come into the presence of his witness? You will not allow him to heal you. Another good reason that I was prompted to preach this sermon, I love my ladies in the church. I mean, as a pastor would love his ladies. I think some pastors would love their ladies. I don't love them that way. But I love the ladies in my church. And my ladies speak to me now. They're starting to tell me what they feel. And a lot of the ladies think that I break confidence when they tell me some things that they don't want anyone else to know. I had to pray about that statement. And I said, Lord, what are you telling me this week? You know what the Lord is saying? They all need to be healed. They all need to be healed. So, preacher, no. Leave that outline that you're working on and go to a lady that needed some healing. And then begin to exegete the text and show them where this lady started to fog and refog and refog and refog and challenge them all before you get to the punchline at the end, what she was sick with. It was not immorality. It was not living like an adulterous woman. You have it in the text right in front of you. And some of us don't see it. I hope some of us do. Some of us don't see it because that's what Christ is saying to you. You don't know what your sickness is until you allow him to heal you. And healing, my friend, hurts. Then we look at, lastly, the inquiry in verse 8. This inquiry is simple yet so profound. Look what it says. In verse 7, really, he says, give me a drink. He says, give me a drink. This is how it begins. Jesus says, I want to talk with you. He used the water to open up a conversation. Guess what he does, Sister Callie? Every time you come to church on Sunday morning, Jesus is saying, give me a drink. He says, let's have a little talk. Robert Dale, man, that's why worship is difficult for some folks. Because they think that worship is, they didn't sing well, you missed it. The major part of worship is right now, where Jesus is saying to you, give me a drink. And then you're going to start doing this. Man, I brought my money. He didn't say nothing about your money and your religion. He says, I want a drink. I want to talk with you. I want to talk about what's made you sick. And that thing that has driven you crazy. Let's look at the strategy. It's found in verses 9 through 12. And I hope that you're marking down this outline, those of you Bible exegetes, because I'd love for you to reteach this, re-preach this. When you do a Bible study, ladies, when you do a Bible study with other ladies, hey, let's talk about strategy here. Jesus didn't go to Samaria for kicks. There was a plan, a strategy. He said, I've got to go there. There's a sick woman coming to me. 1967, August, know what he said? When I was down on Venice Boulevard in my apartment, on my knees, he says, there's a sick man on Venice Boulevard. And he needs some water. Unfortunately, some of us take one drink from his wonderful well that'll never run dry, and we think we heal. We're just as sick as we was the day we met it. Look at the strategy. Now we're going to witness borderline communication. I call it shadowing and fogging, because whenever Jesus asks you for what you need to give him, you're going to do, and I'm going to do, just what this woman did. We will not reveal ourselves. Oh, that's not me. Look at verse 9. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman?" You know we don't deal with one another. This is a woman's strategy. You know what it was? Racial distraction. Jesus said, "Give me a drink." And she should have said, "What are you talking about?" And the first thing that she did was try to shadow God. "What you doing talking with me?" Now, how many of you, every time you come to church, you know right in your heart that God is speaking to you so rich and clear? There's no miscommunication. He's trying to deal with you. He's trying to say, "I want to heal that. Give me a drink." You need to say, "What you talking about?" Then he's going to start asking you questions. Did you know that we all do it? We all do it. Ladies, you were wrong Tuesday. Pastor John does not butt in your business and put it in the street. Pastor John is just trying to imitate and initiate biblical strategy. I say, "Give me a drink. What is it? Talk to me." You ask young Eric. He was in my study earlier. I just wasn't in there talking about ABCs. I said, "Eric, give me your heart. What's the issue?" Now, when I do that, you know what I'm asking you to do? I'm asking you to say, "What is he doing that for?" Because you need to be healed. The woman's strategy. But I'm going to tell you folks something. There's no fog so thick that the Lord can't dilute with the power of the word. And that's our problem. God is trying to cut through what you listen. And you know who does it best? Preachers do. Preachers do that better than you people ever could. Because, see, we got this book that we can, "Oh, now the Lord is speaking to me." Yeah, he's telling you, you dirty rascal, to repent. See, he tells me, first of all, before I can tell you. He says, "You dirty rascal, Pastor John, you repent." He's going to cut through the fog. That's what he does. You see, the Lord's strategy is seen in verses 10 and 12. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that's asking you for a drink, you would ask him for a drink, and he would give you living water." Jesus is talking about, I would give you divine provision. When Jesus is trying to get in touch with us that want to keep secrets, don't want to disclose truth and reality, Jesus is saying, "All I want to do is give you everything. And here you are, fooling and fogging." Listen, how many of you right now in this room know something that someone else doesn't know, and you know they need to know it, and you will never tell them because you're in charge? Boy, that's a blast right there. Because when the other person knows, they're going to totally disagree with how you're handling it to expose it to bring healing. You don't want it exposed. You don't even want the person healed. You're fogging Jesus. And Jesus says, "Give me a drink. Let's talk this out. Open up. Get free." Have you ever thought about the scripture that said, Brother Jones, if the Son have set you free, you're free indeed? Most of us in the church, Brother Matt, are still in slavery. we tied up, shackled up. Let me say this, and then I want you to keep this in your mind for the rest of the message. There's only one person in this room right now that I can genuinely say that I know is going to heaven. There's only one individual in this room right now that I can genuinely say I know is going to heaven, and I don't have a guarantee on anybody else. I'm going to heaven because I'm free. Now, you deal with that.
I don't fold you. I don't lie to you. I don't deceive you. I tell everybody everything. I'm free. I'm going, hey, man, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. How many of you are carrying some mess? Paying God. Not free. Yet you say, I'm going too. I don't know whether you're going. I cannot give you heaven. I am responsible to God for me only. Because God is saying, John Coleman, you dirtbag. I've given you my word. Eternal salvation is given unto those that obey me. If any of you sitting in this pew in front of me or behind me are not obeying him, I know I'm going to heaven. Now you go right ahead. That's why Jesus came to this woman. He says, oh dear, you're fogging me here. What are you talking about, racial distinction? That's not the issue. The Lord's strategy was water and a well and a wasted woman. He didn't come up with all this other kind of stuff. He says, I'm just going to take the water that she came to get, and I'm going to take that little old piece of material substance called water that she's going to drink in her throat, and I'm going to use an analogy to show her that I came to heal this sister. And all this sister came to do was fog me. How many of you children, your parents ask you, what's really going on in your heart? And you say, nothing, honey, just like the cereal. I've seen the commercial too. Nothing, honey. Oh, yeah, it's something there. It's something there. How many of you young adults, single? I mean, you're struggling with your, you're struggling. I don't have a man. I don't have a woman. And you're struggling with all this stuff. And God is saying, why don't you shut up? I don't want you to have nobody now. Praise my name. You're fogging him. You're fogging him. You're fogging him. How many men would buy a porno book to make up for what the wives are not doing, what they supposed to do? You're fogging him. You're fogging him. Jesus says, let's talk about this water you came here to get. See, now what I'm talking about this morning, let's talk about this religion that you came here to get. Let's talk about this religion. This religion doesn't work. I'm telling you, folks, when I read John chapter 4 again last week, I began to weep again. I said, Lord, I've read this all my life. I've never seen this. God says, look at what this woman's real problem was, John. She was fogging me. And then the Lord is telling me, John, your people will fog you. Ooh, what a revelation, Sister Frost. My people will fog me. The Holy Spirit said, they will fog you out of your pocket. And he says, now you tell them I cut through the midst of the madness because I know every heart in the room. And then God told me, John, what are you fogging me with? And I said, nothing, Father. You know my heart. I'm free. I says, I wouldn't be doing this. And listen. Let me share this with you. Pastor John's not up here for the money. I'm not up here for the money. I'm up here. Hey, I'm up here because I want you to be sure, as I am, that you're the only one in the room going to heaven. That's what I want. I want you, Nikhil Lattimore, to be saying, hey, man, you know you're going, I know I'm going. But if there's any disobedience in your life and you fog in Jesus, well, brother, you got a horrendous problem. Now, let's look at this. I don't think I read verse 12. She said to him, sir, you don't have anything to draw with. Don't you know that that's what we do to Jesus? Oh, you can't do nothing in my life. I'm in control. How are you going to get this stuff and you ain't got nothing? You know what Jesus is saying? I made you. I made you, and I knew this day you're going to go through this. You see, I'm going to tell you how freedom feels. Freedom feels like this. Freedom feels like this. I heard a preacher this morning. If any of you saw Charles Stanley this morning, you saw one of the most powerful sermons in your life. Charles Stanley was telling people basically, don't help people anymore. Let God devastate them. That's his business. And then he said, those of you Christians that are trying to help other Christians from devastation, you are working against God's program. And that's just what he was telling me as a pastor. Tell them once and then leave town. Tell them once and then say, that's it. I'm through with you. And then Stanley said, God will devastate them. But he says, you people keep interjecting your own self in their lives, and you're delaying God's judgment. So you're not going to hear Pastor John preach all those, I told you, and I told you, and I told you. I tell you one time, this sermon, Jesus is saying, stop fogging me. It's not Pastor John. Never has been him. All that man is doing is what I told him to do, try to get you to get free. Get free. Another phone call came over, dear lady called on the radio, and she said, oh, I have a problem with my husband. My husband this, my husband, he beats me up, my husband this. And I asked the woman one question. I said, what is the issue here? She said, he's a homosexual. I said, well, thank you for telling the truth. Because him beating you is only a reflection of what he is. See, my friend, Jesus wants to heal you. He don't want to hear all your fogging and smoke screening. I don't know why my child is that way. Yeah, you know why they're that way. You just don't want to face up to it. Not from my loins. Your loins ain't holier than nobody else's loins. I don't want nobody to know. That's why healing will never take place. You can't heal it. I'm trying to conceal it. Ooh. Look at the strategy. That is the surgery, verses 13 through 16. Now, you're going to see clear and close how close Jesus comes to cut to the heart. Jesus is implying something here. He implies that he is the water that heals our deepest hurts. He says in verse 13, everyone who drinks of this water is going to thirst again. You know what he's saying? If the healing process is to take place, it's going to have to come through me. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. I know he's in me. I know he called me as a pastor. I know he's given me certain gifts of discernment. Get this. I hate to scare you folks, but I can discern what some of you are going through. I know it before you tell me. That is what God gives me. That is discerning of spirits. That is a spiritual gift that many pastors have that are godly and prayerful. I can show you that in Scripture. I don't need you turning your pages today. I have that gift. When you talk to me and you get around me, I know things about you. I just know it. I sense it in my spirit. Then I ask you questions. Your facial remarks tell me that you know I know. That's going to make you very nervous. Well, then you need to leave this church because I will always have that gift. See? Then what I do, Brother Frost, is I look out people in the audience and I see the gift that they have. The discernment that God has given them, because you messed up, you need to be healed. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to send that person that can help you right to you to heal you, because I know, and then they know, and they're coming to you for healing. Don't you tell nobody my business. You sick. I don't believe that's in the Bible. Now, you ladies should remember where the scripture is. I gave it to you Tuesday night. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 and 12, he gave some apostles. I'm talking about somebody that has the ability to assist you to get well. I was talking with a dear friend of mine, not a member of this church, and one of his in-laws is dying of AIDS. And she said, man, the anguish that I'm going through, the pain. I said, did you find out from the person how they got it? Yes, and my family is self-destructing. I said, did you tell your family? No, how can I do that? I said, these people need to be free. Tell them the truth. I can't do that. I said, you're a part of the madness. See, my friends, if anybody in your family is a Christian, the truth will not hurt them. It releases them. It releases them. But when you play God and you're not going to tell the truth, even to me, and listen, in most cases, I already know the truth anyhow. I'm just waiting on you to come to me so I can minister healing. In most cases, I know already. And I'm just waiting on my phone to ring so I can minister. That's why he made me the pastor. Call me so I can give you some healing. And guess what? You're going to call your best friend. And they can't deal with the tension in their own lives. Oh, no, don't tell Pastor John. It's going to be all over the church. We're all in a body. It's supposed to get all over the church so we can all pray. I don't want them praying for me. Why? I don't like them. Why? They're different. You in a clique? I sure am, aren't you? No. healing. Water has great significance. Our subject perceived the natural revelation. When Jesus was speaking with her, she said, how are you going to get this? See, she didn't even read what Jesus was doing. Sometimes, folks, you don't read what I'm doing. You're not supposed to read it. You're supposed to trust me. I'm the pastor. Oh, no, you ain't, man. You just went and got a master's degree, and you tricking us. What? You mean you're paying a hireling? You're a clown? Somebody that's a paid trickster? Disobedience. There was no natural revelation in the master's words. He wasn't giving them what we seek today. You know what it's called? It's called Band-Aid-ology. You healing by self-destruct, and you're going to try to put a Band-Aid on an open scar. That's what some of you do when you go to some of your friends in the church that don't know up or down about spiritual healing. You know, you go into them and they say, well, now let me tell you what I do. Well, what you need to do is you need to stop going to people like that, because if you take a close look, they got a Band-Aid on their open scars too. We need to be healed. Band-Aid-ology, you know, that's taping up an open scar. Or have you ever heard this one? I think this one is too often given in this church. Let's just pray it away. No, you're not going to pray nothing away that needs to be healed. You know, you're going to break a leg and then pray that the Holy Ghost is going to put it back together right. You go get shot and have the bullet close to your heart, and then you say, I'm just going to pray that the Holy Ghost is going to fix it. No, you're going to expire. You're going to die. And it's the same way in our spiritual lives. There are tensions in every, and even in my life. And I found that I can't fog it. I just say, Jesus, you know the way I am. You know what I like. You know what turns me on. You know what makes me tick. You know what makes me go. You know me because you made me. I can't hide from you. Let's have this look. You know, since first we sing this song, let's have a little talk with Jesus. We'll tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry. And no. You ain't talking with him. You talking at him. You ain't telling him nothing because you're not telling him about the real trouble. I'm sick. Not me. I'm saved. No, you sick in salvation. You need to tell them about what it is that got you messed up. And listen to me, parents, your children are going to be horrendously messed up unless you tell them how you are. Not were, are. You need to get your babies and say, I am messed up. You hear me? And then your child will have, they will have a clear reception. Oh, I know, you don't want to see it in the text. Let's keep on going. Jesus directs the knife directly at the cancer in verse 16. He says, go call your husband and come here. You see what Jesus did? Jesus said, I'm not going to get into an argument about you about racism, about me being a Jew and you being a Samaritan. I'm not going to get in an argument about religion. Our fathers worship here and you Jews worship there. Jesus says, you fogged me long enough. I'm going to use the scalpel. Now I'm saying, bring me that husband of yours. Now to me first. Because I've been accused of not using me enough in the sermon. So just let me, I will not use this adjective you or whatever. I'm talking about me. When Jesus talks to me, he says, Coleman, bring me the issue. What is it? Now I can say, I'm senior pastor. How dare you even question me? Let me give you something. I had no intention on doing this, but I think that we need to hear this scripture right here. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Lest any of you think that I'm so holy that you can't get me. If you want to ever get me with these two verses. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Now, let's say that I did do something dirty. It says, those who continue in sin, that means these pastors, these elders, these deacons, these stewards and all this, it says, rebuke them in the presence of all. God says, if I mess up, rebuke me. That means could bring me before the church and say, this jive time, dirty hypocrite, kick him out. Isn't that great? And then it says, why do you do that? It says, so that the rest may also be fearful of sinning. Oh, no, we can't tell the pastor. Oh, yeah, you can tell me, but two or three of you get together. Get a good group. Get your facts right. Not one of you, three of you, at least two. And then bring me before the whole church and set me down and rebuke me to death. I'll repent. Now you might be saying, well, does it say to kick him out of ministry? No, it says rebuke me to stop the sinning. Now if you want to kick me out of ministry, kick me out too. I don't care. Now if God tells you to do that to me, what in the world do you think I'm going to do to you? The same thing. Those of you that are in a leadership position in this church, you better listen and listen good. Any accusation brought against you, I will rebuke you publicly. In a minute, I don't even have to think about it. That's God's word. God's word. See, so Jesus went right to the goozle here. He wasn't playing around here. See, her sickness was not her racial indifference or her religious belief. It was not the fact that she was currently living an immoral life. You know what, friends? Her sickness was an unmentionable, deep desire. No, I'm not going to say it in the language. I want you to pick it up. She needed to be healed from something that I cannot discuss behind this lecture. Now I think some of you have just fallen right in line with what you need to be healed with. You say, well, where do you get that from? Jesus tells us very, very, very plain. Look what he says. The woman said, I don't have any husband. And he said, you said, well, you don't have a husband. And then he says, you've had five. Now, I've heard a lot of people teach that she was living in five adulteries. No, 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 no. She had five legitimate husbands in the past. Now, you need to get in touch with what this woman needed to make her a human being. What this woman felt she needed to make it. I need a man in my life. And every time one moved out, she went on and found another one and married him because, hey, I got to have a man. One was there, I don't know what happened, he's gone. Second one came in, God did something, he flew the coop. Third one came in, she went out and married another one, he flew the coop. Fourth one came in, she went on out and got a fifth one, he flew the coop. She went on out and tried to get a sixth one. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. What are you? Don't you get the message yet? Woman, God is saying, no, no, I don't want you to have it. You know that woman says, I like what they do to me, and I'm going to get it if it's the last thing I did. And Jesus says, you need to be healed. You haven't seen that in the text? You see, what we want to do is blame it on one little act. Well, you know, the woman caught in adultery. No, she needed to be healed. That's what our problem is. And listen, the book is a living book, people. This is not a fantasy. This is not something that I'm making. Oh, you're just putting that in there. The words don't. Jesus said you had five husbands. Five husbands, and now the one you were in there sleeping with and living with is not your husband. You've gone against what I did and wrong, got it anyhow. What was the woman's sickness? She needed to be healed from a deep, dark, unmentionable desire in her nature that she was not willing to confess to God. That is basically what each of us need to be healed from. Jesus says, give me a drink. Let's talk about it. What do? We walk around in confidence. Well, you know how I am. You need to be healed. You're the church. Oh, Christians aren't healed today. Christians, ooh. And you can see the results in our homes, in our families. We're fighting. We're bickering. We're cursing. We're swearing. We're scraping to get what the world gets. There's no difference in our families and in the world. And yet we come here and say, I'm going to heaven. I told you there's only one person in this room that I have a guarantee that's going to heaven at this moment, and it's me, because I'm free. You can ask my wife. I live like a free man. I don't keep anything from my wife. I don't keep anything from these deacons, from these people in this church. I'm freed up. I don't understand what the problem with the church is. See, she wanted to possess that was not hers to possess, church. That was not acceptable to God for her to have a man at that time. God was saying, what he does to you is not what you need. You need what I do to you. Healing comes into the picture when we say, thank you, because I want this thing. And God is saying, I'm not concerned about what you want. I created you. I'll give you what I want to give you. She was trying to retain forbidden and uncontrollable pleasure. I want pleasure. God was saying, make me your pleasure. You youngsters better really listen to me, because you see, I'm telling you, that's what most of these teenagers in our society need to be healed from. The desire for pleasure. Undisciplined, untrained. I just want, you know, stroke me, baby, stroke me. And God is saying, let me stroke you with my love. Oh, Jesus, you old-fashioned. You outdated. Give me pleasure. I need a few days away. I need to go off and be alone. Yeah, why don't you go on off and be alone and be with Jesus? Really alone. In a cabin and going up in the hills and say, speak to me and heal me. And so that when I come back down, I'll be thoroughly clean. No, we want to escape. And that's what this woman was doing. She wanted to fulfill the normal needs by involvement in an abnormal relationship. And that's basically where we are. All we're trying to do is fulfill these normal human needs in a very abnormal sense. And it's not always sensuality. A lot of times it's just plain rebelliousness. I don't have to do what he tells me. Let me make this perfectly clear. No, you don't have to do anything I ask you to do or tell you to. Anything. And as of this day, I'm just going to tell you once, and then I'm not going to tell you anymore. I'm going to turn my back and walk away from you and say, good luck in the world. And then you watch that domino effect. One domino after the next is going to fall in your life. And all God wanted you to do was chill out and listen to him. Jesus cut through the fat and he tackled the problem. And I believe he's doing it right now while you're sitting in your pew. And now, listen, how does this respond to me? He's already done it to me. I got to be free. I can't preach like this unless I'm free. If there was a known sin in my life, and I see, that's why Brother Jones is here ministering. I'm back there on my face before God saying, how can I go out there and say this and I'm messed up? Heal me. See what I mean? So it goes for me too. Goes for me too. I've never preached a sermon that doesn't preach me. Now let's look at the salvage in verses 17 and 18. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Now here's the tension of this, because you aren't there. I wasn't there. I don't know how she made this statement. I think she did it one of two ways. She could have done, now this is, if she's really fogging you, she says this, I don't have a husband. Now that's the way some of us talk to Jesus. I ain't got no problem. I don't know what you're talking about. You ought to leave that alone, man. How come you think you know? Or she could have answered this way, watch me. I ain't got no husband. That's the way I think she answered it. She said, I ain't got no husband. I see, Jesus came to heal. Jesus came to heal. And she had said, I ain't got no husband. No, the conversation would have ended right there. Jesus just would have got his own water, got him a drink, and went on home. The woman was saying, heal me, Lord. She said, I ain't got no husband. Once you can come to Jesus that way and say, that is what my sickness is, then Jesus is going to use the church, me, and all of these other people out here to heal you of your sickness. That is what the church is all about. That's all it's about. That's what we hear. But you say something like that in your heart, whatever my problem is. And then you go into somebody and they can't help you, because you know what? They talking like this. Oh, and then what are you going to them? You go to somebody that's freed up. And then when you come to me, I'll say, hey, take heart. I've been there. Let me tell you about it. La-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. Then I'm going to say, now I know somebody in the body that's just like you and me. And I'm going to send them to you, and they're going to bring about healing. Are you happy? No, you know what you're going to say? Don't care nothing about my life. You don't want to be healed. You don't want to be, listen, let me say this to the whole congregation. Don't ever come to me with anything in confidence if you do not want to be healed. You ever tell me anything in confidence, I'm going to look out in the body and I'm going to get you healed. That's my role. I ain't going to tell him nothing. Stay sick. I'll go to another church. You be sick there. See, this woman could have played Jesus off. No, look at the salvage. What seems to be an admittal in the simplest form becomes a profound statement from this lady. I don't have a husband. She was saying, do you know what I need and why I did that? Do you know? Now, only God could know. That's it. Now, what's the issue that each of us are struggling with right now? What is it? Is it a family member? Is it a spouse? Is it a child? Is it a person in the church, out the church? Is it a deep-found nature, something in you that you don't want to give up because it makes you feel good and guilty at the same time? You know, that's a freak of nature, feeling good and guilty at the same time. You know, I like this one. Figure it out. You know, that's like somebody that gets a new cable system in their house. And they call the guy and tell him to put all the filthy channels on there, too. Oh, I don't watch that stuff, but you put all the filthy channels on there, and then you're switching. Click, 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 praying that you see something. Click, click, ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Click, 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 ooh. Oh, come on. Jesus is saying, give me a drink. Give me a drink. Give me a drink. This woman said, Lord, please heal me. Heal me of the pain of not having what I want. Heal me of the dilemma of going through life and all this stuff is tearing me up and I don't know what to do. I have no husband. And that's why I do what I do. That's why I have that. See, it was not a question of immorality. The woman needed to be healed. She says, I'm living like this because I need this. And Jesus, isn't he so loving and sweet? And he says, that's all right. And he told about everything that she'd ever done. Isn't that great? You see, people, when healing takes place within the context of truthfulness, he heals it. And then you go home a different person. This verse 18 expresses something. Jesus exposes what our subject needed, and he healed her from it. He says, for you have five husbands, and the one that you now have is not your husband. And he says, this you have spoken truly. Now, back to my issue. Confidence in the church that is never spoken truthfully. Don't tell anybody. You know what God is saying? You're not ready to be healed. I cannot bless you unless you are willing to tell everybody. But it hurts. It's supposed to hurt. The surgeon's knife is never painless. It's supposed to cut, but it may hurt the person. I want to devastate that person to bring them to me. What are you protecting them for? I don't like nobody talking about them. You know what God is saying? I've already talked about it, and it's sin, and I want it exposed so I can heal it. So, therefore, break the confidence. Now, be careful going around gossips in the church. Because, see, a gossip is a dangerous person. Because all they're doing is just taking your business, putting it out on the street. But that's all right, because if you're seeking healing, you don't care who knows. Now, deal with that one. See, you don't care who knows. Hey, because you're free. You're free. No preacher can ever embarrass me, can ever intimidate me. As a matter of fact, they say, you want to pass this church? Come on up and sit up here, man. Now, go on out here when I'm not looking and talk to my people and talk. Take them. I'm just going to sit right over here and laugh. That's insanity. God is the one that placed me here. He'll remove me. This woman had been married 5 times. Now, you know what that did as I closed? That influenced her actions. You listen to me, parents. What has happened to your children is influencing their actions. You better get in touch with that. And if you never get in touch with that, you are going to deal with your child's problem in the wrong way. And authority and force never works. Deal with what influenced them. I can't do that because you're hemmed up. You're going to have problems. You need to be healed. The woman longed for marital relationships. That is a natural inclination, but at this time God was saying no. Like I said to that man on the radio, you mad at God because he said no right now? Well, also she presently was not married. Now that bothered this lady to her heart. I don't have what she has. Well, you're not supposed to have that yet. Live for God with where you are. Then lastly, she was living in a sinful condition by feigning a genuine relationship. Now that's what we do. We are living in a sinful condition whenever we pretend or play like we are just so right and our Christian. No, you feigning it. And let me end up by saying this. God knows, and sometimes I know. And when I see folks in Olivet feigning it, I just cross my arms up, put my head down, and I'm just waiting on them to come to me for healing. And I am, hey, I must tell you, I am a nosy pastor. Tony, if I'm nosy in your life, it's because I love you. I was speaking with Sister Karen's son. I just said, boy, get in my office. And then after I told him to get in my office, I went and told his mom, I got your boy in my office. First thing I told the boy to do, stand up and give Pastor John a hug. He gave me one of these quicks. I said, uh-huh. Eric was letting me know how the conversation was going to go. I don't want to be here with you. He says, no, give me a tighter hug because we're going to talk. Now, if you want the kind of pastor that does not want to get confidential with you, well, you go right ahead and live in the shadows of your mind and then continue to go to people that love you, that mean well, but they aren't going to minister to you right because a lot of times open scars need to be revealed so that healing can take place. So as we read John chapter 4 for the rest of our lives, we see us in the middle of the text. We're like this woman. We're gonna feign and fall. We're going to make excuses. And God is saying every day, all I want to do is for you to give me a drink. Let's pray together.